Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fact-filled episode of Everything We Learned from The Simpsons. I'm one of your hosts. My name's Mark, and I am actually wearing green.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Mr. Tom.
Hello, or should I say D-A-Gwitch? I think that's meant to be Irish for hello. Apologies if I've got that wrong, but I did try.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, you would you'd know better than the rest of us because you've done your ancestry and you're a bit Irish, which growing up in Leeds means something completely different in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
that you can't say anymore.
we'll come to everyone being a bit Irish later on.
Oh, all right, okay, great.
But yeah, the Irish theme is from this episode, Homer versus the 18th Amendment, or if you like me. The beer baron one.
If you're wondering what it was. Yeah, exactly.
And it's got the, it starts with St. Patrick's Day and that, hence the theme. We're not just, so yeah. And it's first aired on the 16th of March, 1997. It was the 18th episode of season 8.
Now, I was scrolling through this. We've decided to do this because as of recording, it is very nearly St. Patrick's Day 2022. But I scrolled through. We've not done a series, season 8 yet, and we're going to kind of dot around. I think the plan is to do one from every series we're going to cover and then eventually get back to ones we've already done. Almost every episode is an absolute barnstormer in series 8.
Yeah.
There's some absolute peaches.
Yeah, we can't do them all at once. We've just got to wait until we get round.
Yeah. I think the only one I spotted that I didn't really care much for is the one where David Hyde Pierce joins Kelsey Grammer for the Brother from Another Sitcom episode or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not a big fan of that other than the gag, Mr. Terwilliger, Gage gone heaven. Oh, really, Cousin Merle?
I don't think I've watched that for ages, so I might like it.
Yeah.
I can't remember it. I mean, I can't remember it, obviously, but, you know.
Come now, Bob. You know Cousin Merle ain't been quite right recently. I think of that all the time. It's the only bit of the episode I know. I think they built the dam out of papier-mâché.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the dam, the poorly built dam. Mm. So anything kind of construction, building related, I'm all over that.
Of course you are. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right, shall we get started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, I don't know if this was me because it was Disney Plus or what, but I didn't see a chalkboard gag.
Yeah, there wasn't one, which made me think, does that happen a lot? Because and I've not noticed. So if any listeners can keep us informed about that.
Eagle-eyed listeners. What I do know, and not related to this particular episode, but the couch gag where it's the circus, you know, that bit that goes on for ages.
Yeah.
They would always run that one if they've got a short episode to make up the time, because it's probably about 20 seconds long.
Yeah. This couch gag was just the cowboys riding on the couch.
Yeah. You ever ridden a horse, Tom?
I haven't. I was thinking, have I? No, maybe a big dog.
An Irish wolfhound, you might say.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Have you?
I'm Princess Margaret. I'm drunk. No, I haven't. I don't really trust them. I'm not a big fan of them. And I'm, as you well know, I'm a hefty fella. So I would assume that no horse would want to sit on me sat on his back.
Just let the horses get on with it and do their own thing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I like a Shire horse, though, I've got to say. If you go to a museum and there's a Shire horse, I'm always quite happy.
For sticking to the Northern Industrial Heritage content.
Yeah, we didn't see one when we went to Beamish, disappointingly.
Yeah, I think that was after we recorded the last episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We had a podcast out to Beamish, the Industrial Living Museum in County Durham.
Yeah.
Thoroughly recommend going there.
Great fun. Fantastic morning, Ad. And then we went to the beach to eat some pasties. Classic Northern behaviour. All the while, I'm meant to be at work. Fucking great. So, the whole point of this episode is, so Bart and Lisa are walking up to school, and Lisa's wearing this green dress, which she's never worn before. Bart's kind of like, "Oh, that's stupid." They open the door, and everybody's wearing green, and they start pinching him, shouting, "Pinch, pinch, pinch!" Any ideas?
No one's pinching his legs. No, this was new to me. It's something that I've not experienced. Even the whole wearing green thing, I think, as a youngster, I can't remember anything like that. And I went to a Catholic school. There's a lot of Irish people of Irish descent went there, and a few Irish people as well. But all I can remember is a teacher wearing like some shamrock from his top pocket.
He's like, wearing a Guinness hat.
Why have you got cress in your pocket, sir?
Exactly. Apparently, dressing up in green makes you invisible to leprechauns.
Yeah, because that's not offensive.
No. So I assume not only have leprechauns got the harsh thing of being much smaller than humans, but they've also got a disability that will stop them from becoming a fighter pilot, like Paul Dano in Little Miss Sunshine.
Extreme colour blindness.
Yeah, exactly.
Bart was wearing orange, and think, well, there is orange in the Irish flag.
But there's also Orangemen, which they can fuck off.
Protestants do celebrate. They do lay claim to St. Patrick because he was, after all, from Britain.
Yeah, absolutely. What have the Romans ever done for us? Oh, I don't know. Given us St. Patrick? ?
Yeah, coming over here. What, going over there from Wales.
From Wales, yeah.
Driving up the bloody snakes. That was meant to be Welsh, by the way.
I kind of got it. Yeah, our Welsh listeners out there, we've got a few.
Yeah, we've lost them now, but...
Well, we lost them long before now. Leprechauns will pinch you if they see you, apparently.
Yeah, and all the school.
Yeah. they'll also break your legs if you nick the Lucky Charms. The vicious little bastards.
We go from the school to outside Moors.
Yes.
Homer and the lads.
Yeah. It's 9 a.m. and I'm not drunk yet.
Yeah. So St. Patrick's Day for hours.
Yeah.
Mo turns up looking mardy.
He does look mardy. Did you spot the green dye you'd got, by the way?
Yes, I did. And that's another thing that I don't... Maybe more so now. I just can't remember that being a thing.
I think it's an American thing.
Yeah, oh, very much so,
I think it's a big
city
American thing.
Yeah, like they dye the river green, don't they, in somewhere. I don't know how good that is for the environment. Probably. Yeah. Boston. Yeah, what's the earliest you've ever been to the pub?
It's airports, isn't it? It's always airports. Yeah. If you're flying, I think it's probably been like 4 in the morning on the way to Cuba, I think was what it was. Maybe 5 in the morning before I went to Cuba. I was on my honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I don't go on about Cuba much on the podcast or otherwise.
Yeah, I can't top that. I remember going to the going down to the London Olympics with Jimmy, who'll probably be listening, and we went in the Leeds Station Wetherspoons for breakfast.
Right.
But there was a test match on at Headingley as well. So everyone was just getting absolutely blathered at like 9 in the morning. We just thought, we just got to have a pint, haven't we?
And that's fair.
Feels right.
Yeah, because beer's really expensive at Headingley for the
crowd. Yeah. And in London.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah. Get buzzed before you get there.
Yeah.
You're sober by Peterborough, unfortunately. Yeah.
I just remember getting that train. I don't think they had time to clean it. And there were just all these lads that had come up from London, like, I guess, in city types, probably like doing cocaine in the toilets and stuff. empty crates of Stella and boxes and bottles and stuff just discarded everywhere. No beds.
Yeah. It's like when you get the train to Liverpool at any point when there's a Grand National on. You know,
oh God!
It's just hellish.
Ladies' Day.
Yeah, ladies day. Inverted commas. Ladies' Day.
Ladies' Day at York Races. Yeah. Carnage.
Bottles, empty bottles of Prosecco,
and
fake eyelashes all over the windows.
Yeah,
I don't know. I
discarded shoes.
Exactly. So he says, it's the busiest, Mo, it's the busiest drinking day of the year. Where's the designated drivers? Beat it.
Yeah. And designated drivers, I don't think that's a turn of phrase we have in the UK, but I was just looking at, it wasn't really something that was really a thing in America till the 80s, I guess, because people just drunk driven.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's driven. Past tense. So yeah, it was like proper rolled out in the 80s, and it was public information films. There's references to it in Cheers and LA Law and the Cosby Show. Maybe not. So yeah, it's a quite a thing.
Designated pudding. It does what it says on the tin I've written, except in Ferry Hill, County Durham, second County Durham reference in the last 10 minutes, is a drinks delivery service called the Designated Driver.
Nice. That's a good name, that.
It is, isn't it? Oh, mate, I'm waiting on 8 bottles of Brun and 200 tabs, man.
And yeah, I'm a little bit out of the way from Ferry Hill. I don't think I'd want to go to Ferry Hill.
You don't want to go to Ferry Hill. You absolutely don't want to.
I was going to say cut that out, but nah.
No, you don't want to go to Ferry Hill. It's a shithole. In the United States, there's a thing called a designated survivor or a designated successor, which is a named individual in the presidential line of succession, choose to stay at an undisclosed secure location away from big events such as inaugurations, State of the Union, all that kind of stuff. And it's basically to prevent what happens in that King Ralph movie from the late
80s. What, John Goodman becoming
the
head of state?
That's the one becomes the head of state. Wow. Yeah. There's a film nobody's thought about it.
I think I've seen a bit of it. I mean,
I think Eric Idle might have been in it.
On telly at Christmas or something.
Yeah, Eric Idle was in everything at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, we're at the St. Patrick's Day parade, where everyone is a little bit Irish, except for the gays and the Italians.
The Italians! Eesh!
I mean, I don't know about the Italians, but I was looking about something about the New York St. Patrick's Day parade, and I don't the Irish Gay and Lesbian Organisation asked to march in the 1991 parade. It didn't go down well. They were effectively banned until 2015. So that is quite a sad undercurrent to that joke. So 2015, it came. A lot of people started boycotting it. Guinness withdrew their sponsorship of the event. So it was 2015. We should just let the march, because why wouldn't you?
It's basically carnage, isn't it? What's going on here? So they've got these floats. So the first one was the Irish police officers.
2,000 years of Irish cops.
which I was kind of like, what? But it did get me down a little rabbit hole of the Irish copper stereotype. Right. So there's loads throughout the history of media, and the one that I specifically remembered, and I turned to Rachel. And I said, do you remember that like the 60s Batman used to have like an Irish police chief, and it was Chief O'Hara, and he was really, really Irish kind of and crap at his job. But from Cora.com, over 100 years ago, the jobs nobody else wanted were available to new immigrants who were desperate for work. So always the dirtiest or most dangerous jobs, which required no training or skills.
Yeah,
not suggesting that that's the same today. Look out, Itchy, he's Irish.
And the guards are 100 years old this year, but I think that just is because of the formation of the Irish Free State.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay.
There's police in Ireland before then, but maybe not as close to the Irish people.
Yeah. Have you seen the Irish film The Guard?
No.
I've seen a lot of films. Brendan Gleeson. It is brilliant. And I mean absolutely hilarious stuff. I went to the cinema to see it and very nearly went straight back in afterwards to see it again. It was so good. Yeah, Gleason's great, and he's very, very good in that as basically a bad cop that has to, not a bad cop, but just like a crap cop who has to become a better cop. And it's very, very funny. It's very well written.
Sounds good.
I can't recommend it enough. I really can't. So there's more floats that are coming by. There's this one with the Drunken Irish Writers of Springfield?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favourite Drunken Irish novelist?
There's a couple. What I didn't know, what I learned from this, I mean, I would have instantly said George Bernard Shaw is probably my favourite one. But what I didn't realise was Bram Stoker was Irish.
I thought Bram Stoker was from Whitby.
he's just a big fan of fish and chips.
Yeah, in God's.
Oh, I just feel like I've ruined one of your much desired Yorkshiremen. Who's your favourite?
Roddy Doyle.
All right, okay. Yeah, I didn't realise we were going contemporary. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, I don't do that. The only other Irish novelist I could think of was Sally Rooney.
Yeah. Bart asked Marge for this novelty horn thing. She's like, every time you get one, you throw it away. And anyway, he goes and gets one, doesn't he? And that's kind of the MacGuffin here. Things are getting much worse, basically. Yeah. Everybody's they're climbing this huge kind of scaffolding that's been set up for the thing. And there's a guy going, "Where's the weather girl?" So that's pretty good.
And Kent Brockman says, "Is drinking, violence, and destruction of property, are these the things we think of when we think of the Irish?" And what do you think? Can you think of any? What else would you think of?
Right, and this, I don't mean to offend people. Unfortunately, I think of that fucking Michael Flatley nonsense. I think of horses running around council estates. Men with bits of carpet on the side of their head. This is a Partridge thing, listeners. Yeah. This is not me being offensive.
That's what I was getting at, Alan Partridge. All the badly tarmac drives in this country. Yeah.
In this country, at least, yeah. Oh, Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Yeah, and in all that destruction, we see the Union Jack emblazoned John Bull's fish and chip shop getting bombed with much cheering after.
Yeah.
Is that funny?
Oh, God, you're putting me on the spot here. Yes and no, right? And it's not funny because it's a reference to the Troubles, and there's nothing funny about the Troubles at all. And listeners, go away and look up the Troubles between Britain and Ireland. Yeah, we've spent bloody hundreds of years trying to kill the Irish, and not us personally, of course.
No, not me.
No, you. But yeah, and I think they, yeah, right. So, in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, pubs, shopping centres, hotels. Shame they missed her, wasn't it? That Brighton hotel, Thatcher. It would have been good. I'd have been all right with that. Were blown up by the Republican
army. It was like a constant threat. Mm. City centres used to be closed because of bomb scares. Yeah. So I remember it being younger. There was one or two bombs. I mean, Manchester being the biggest one, which didn't have any fatalities.
No. Warrington as well.
But Warrington was two young lads died, didn't they? Yeah. In that, and then when this went out as well, it was 1997, so it's a year before the Good Friday Agreement, which has, I don't feel qualified to talk about this, but no. That really was the establishment of a peace process and an agreement between the UK and Ireland and particular rights for people in Northern Ireland, which has kind of been, there's not been any threats to that until the last few years with Brexit, which has another story. But I must admit, I did think I did laugh at this. It was everyone cheering that made me laugh.
Yeah, it does.
And the fact that I've not, when this is shown on the TV in the UK, they don't show that scene. They don't show that bit on Sky.
I'd never seen it until a couple of years ago. At all.
I did wonder if they shot an RTE.
No, apparently, and I got this off of Mono at Mono Rants. Cheers, mate. We really do appreciate you. He said it was shown on Sky One in Ireland, so they never had it either.
Right,
growing up, he's a couple of years younger. He's about your age, I think. So, you know, that kind of sits quite well. Yeah, I one final point to make on the troubles and terrorism as a term. Until 2001, I always thought of terrorists as blokes in balaclavas. It sounds weird, doesn't it? Like we were scared of growing up. We weren't scared of Asian men, Muslim groups, or, you know, separatists, that kind of thing. But we were afraid of men in balaclavas. And look, I'm so glad that we've got the Good Friday Agreement, as you say, and that things did look like they were going really well. John Bull was the national personification of the United Kingdom and specifically England, right? So you'll have seen pictures. And in fact, the one thing I always think of specifically is Scarborough as a John Bull rock shop.
Yeah, it does.
John Bull rock.
I was going to say, Wigan has a pub called John Bull.
Which
used to have a really good jukebox with loads of like metal and rock on it. But I remember going in there once. In about 2009, and there was a BNP, that fascist political party, meeting in there, or some people in BNP rosettes.
Jesus.
So yeah, John Bull.
Yeah.
And the ugly face of Britain.
Of a British nationalism.
Quite literally.
It's funny because he's always depicted as like a stout country, kind of to the point, character, and that Union Jack waistcoat always makes me feel a little bit sick. Apropos of nothing, by the way, Tom, I'm going to bring this up because a few weeks ago I shared with you a link to the life of Ken Bailey. Do you remember this?
Self-appointed
mascot of the England football team who dressed like John Bull. And it's really weird because that was not related. We'd not decided this. In fact, I think we'd not even recorded the last episode at that point. But yeah, Ken Bailey, who you can get in Sabutio form, apparently.
Wow.
You can get a little Sabutio Ken Bailey put on the side. Oh, you used to be able to. Yeah. Really sad I missed out on that. That would have been a good thing to have.
The Duff Float comes by.
Oh, let's get to the cheery stuff. Yeah, excellent. Yeah.
Free beer. Open your yaps, boyos. Again.
Did you see the thing Bart had? The funnel thing that he was going,
the vuvuzela.
Yeah, so hang on a second. You know, I know people always make that joke. The Simpsons predicted this. The Simpsons predicted that. Did the Simpsons predict the World Cup 2010 in South Africa?
They might have done. Yeah. You can make it. You can twist it to fit any agenda, can't you?
You can. And lesser outlets than us have done that on a regular basis. Oh, it's a quiet day, lads. What are we going to do? Oh, I don't know. Huffington Post story about how the Simpsons, you know, did something. Fuck off. Have a day off.
So Bart gets pissed.
He does. All the beer flies down the thing. And Apu's got this megaphone.
Everybody
get naked. Yeah, brilliant. Fantastic. This woman points out that Bart's drunk. He's staggering around the place. Homer has got a beer barrel on his head and he's going, "Look at me. I'm the Prime Minister of Ireland."
And he's not. The Taoiseach, I think I pronounced that right. Apologies if I haven't and patronising, but yeah. Michael Martin is the current Taoiseach. I think I said in a previous episode it was Leo Varadkar, but he was gone in 2020.
He was.
When, you know, long before we recorded this. But I will just say I have absolutely no idea what the difference is between the two main parties in Ireland, Fianna Fáil, I'm going to sound really thick, Fiona Fail and Fain Gael. I probably pronounced that wrong again, but yeah. John Bruton, who I can no recollection of at all, was the Taoiseach at the time this episode went out, just before Bertie Ahern, who is probably one of the more famous ones for us, because he was the Prime Minister at the time of the Taoiseach at the time of the Good Friday Agreement.
And does his daughter writes all those birds books about love and romance?
Yes, Cecilia Ahern, I think.
That's the one. Yeah. And one of his other daughters is married to someone from Boyzone, possibly. I might have made that up.
It sounds plausible.
It does. I mean, it does. Could be Westlife.
Not happy with Bart, either.
No, he's. What are you looking at, Kent Brockman? What are you looking at? The innocent words of a drunken child, which is great.
Bart's off to Moss for a couple of years.
Marge stops them. No more drinking for you. I don't look like the world's worst mother. And Homer says, "You're not the world's worst mother. What about the freezer lady in Georgia?"
What about the freezer lady in Georgia? I hope you researched this because I forgot.
Sadly, I did. There's so many stories about mothers keeping children's remains in freezers.
Jesus.
It's really grim. The earliest I can find, and it won't be this one, is 2002, when two teenage children found their infant child's body in a freezer when they were looking for something for a snack.
Oh, God.
Also something about a Georgia man keeping his mum's corpse in the freezer and shagging it.
Fucking hell.
So, you know, Georgia on my mind, I'll tell you. Jesus H.
That's rough.
It's grim as fuck, isn't it? We're talking about Kent Brockman's on the TV talking about prohibition being the only solution to the anarchy, which I thought was pretty good. Homer says it's the last we'll hear of it.
I think this whole thing as well, it's probably the intention of the episode, but it does a really good job of showing like the moral hysteria, moral panic and the moral majority.
There's a lot of Helen Lovejoy, oh, won't somebody please think of the children, you know, and this is one of the many mentions.
But prohibition, they tried it in the movies and it didn't work.
Quimby says we can't ban alcohol for a number of reasons. Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and it makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism. It's the only reason I do.
It's ideal for Quimby.
Yeah.
We had, founding fathers, astronauts, and world series heroes have all either been drunk or on cocaine. Buzz Aldrin came to mind as an astronaut for me because I think he has had a few battles with drink. Hilarious.
It would drive you to drink though, wouldn't it? If you if people kept asking you, did you really know the first man on the moon?
Yeah.
No, really? You know. But no, it's not funny.
And in terms of founding fathers, John Adams used to have cider for breakfast every morning.
Okay. If it's brown, then you're in cider town.
And it says, I couldn't find, I mean, my knowledge of baseball is pretty poor, but there was a Major League Baseball cocaine scandal in the 80s with the Pittsburgh Pirates players, the Pittsburgh drug trials, and that kind of exposed loads of Major League Baseball players who liked a bit of beak.
That's fair enough, yeah. No, I don't think any of them were anybody that was in Homer at the bat.
Yeah, and then we get the town. Does the town charter guy, does he have a name?
No, it's just old town charter guy.
And
in fact, there was a little bit where I saw, get out of here. Someone said, get out of here, old clerk guy.
That's the name. Good local government employee there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But he finds a long forgotten section, doesn't he?
Yeah, ducks have to wear long pants. Fucking hell, I didn't see that coming.
and the prohibition law, if you break it, will result in a catapulting.
Yeah. I had a look on the Wikipedia article of methods of capital punishment. I couldn't find catapult on there, though. But I made a bit of a list. I tried to make a bit of a list, like a poetic list. Right. So I'll try that. Boiling to death, burning, blowing from a gun, buried alive, crushing, stoning, suffocation, disembowelment, impalement, sawing, pendulum, keel hauling, the gibbet, drowning, brazen bull. There you go.
Brazen bull is
fucked up. Brazen bull, you're pushed inside an iron bull statue and then cooked alive after the fire is lit under it.
Oh,
but what
sounds brilliant.
Where would you get that idea from? shall we hang him? No. That's too good for him, isn't it? Get the fucking bull out.
Well, I'm off to Birmingham next week. I wonder
the
if
bull, the bull
they'll
ring.
Do that at the bull ring. Yeah, with the giant bull.
What?
We're going to prize the bull.
Going to be
anybody? How do we? Oh, it's where we make our cup of soups.
This, I don't know if this is true. It's a semi-made up fact. The gibbet was invented in Halifax. The Halifax gibbet, it's like a guillotine. There's a road in Halifax called Gibbet Street. And there's a big model of a gibbet at the bottom of it.
Have you seen this with your own eyes?
Yes. I'm talking along Gibbet Street. It's up near Thromalt, Big Asda.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, Big Thasda.
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, near where I used to live, but yeah, thankfully. Don't live there now. It's all right, it's Halifax. I'll tell that back.
It's great West Yorkshire content, this.
Yeah, for everyone. Yeah, Halifax, West Yorkshire, not Nova Scotia.
No. They don't use the gibbet there.
No.
The Springfield shopper headline, alcohol prohibited in Springfield. Unconscious Homer is obviously passed out on the rug. Mo and Barney are the same. Yeah. Dr. Hibbert's talking to his wife, who's done exactly this.
And I love it how they just all found out from reading it in the newspaper. They've all got a newspaper there, haven't they? No one's told anyone.
It's 97. It's how it was.
People could talk. They had telly.
They did, yeah. The press witnesses barrels of Duff beer being dumped into a ditch. The crowd cheers as they kind of cover it up. Didn't make any sense to me.
City goes dry today. That's another Springfield shop.
Yeah.
Bum's deadline extended.
Yeah, I liked that. Basically, the guy that's in charge of Duff says people are still going to drink Duff because they like the taste. And then it kind of cuts 30 minutes later. That's the end of me then.
Yeah, it's alcohol-free Duff. Alcohol-free beer sales in the UK between 2019 and 2020 increased by 58%. It's a growing sector. And I've tried a lot of them. My favourite ones, probably that German wheat beer ones like Paulana or... That other one. All of them.
The one that you get in Aldi.
Oh, that one's Maisel's Weiss. That's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you because you didn't drink any alcohol for a good 2 years.
Over in the last like 3 years, I've had periods of time. I've had like 6 months off alcohol for a bit, and it's definitely worth doing. Probably should do it all the time. But I drink it because I like the taste. And it makes me vulnerable to criticism. I'm fine with
I drink. Yeah, I drink because it just makes me forget, and that's all I need. That's all I need from the day to day grind. Please give us money. Please advertisers, give us booze. Mo's still getting booze in. There's this Untouchables kind of reference. This narrator, Dateline Springfield. Which is kind of good. It's a reference to the Untouchables. Of course, you know I can do the film references because we host the sister podcast. I host the sister podcast with John, which is things we learn from film. Join us over there to learn all sorts of nonsense about film. But it's this speakeasy that they're talking about. And Mo is getting his booze from Fat Tony, which I thought was great. they're paying off kind of Lou and Eddie, which is fantastic.
I don't know why people are always bad-mouthing the Mafia when Lou and Eddie with the big pile of cash that they get, the big wad.
So why? Here's a question for you, because I don't think we have a Mafia here, really. August Gordon East London Mafia. They love their mums. But why are people always bad-mouthing the Mafia, Tom?
Organised crime, isn't it? It's generally seen as bad.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah. But that the Mafia in America, Prohibition was a real shot in the arm for them. Mm-hmm. Al Capone and the likes of smuggling beer from, or, well, liquor, anything from Canada or wherever, Mexico, I guess. it's same, isn't it? It's like the war on drugs thing. And anti-drugs legislation, it's just driven underground, and it's like giving money to the Mafia, for want of a better word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
bad,
right.
Bad dudes, bad hombres.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They 100% are. And all the great films that you see on TV don't prove the fact that they're all a bunch of bastards. Mo's got this kind of like proper like jazzy music going on, and people dancing in his pet store,
yeah.
which I kind of liked. The women come in, and Wiggum, who's drunk, decides to get them with what, Tom?
He decides that he better turn on the old Wiggum chat. It really makes me laugh.
And it's an angle we don't usually see them shot from. Like, yeah. Shot from, like, front on. And it's,
yeah, it's like the perspective, what you'd see with that walking towards you. It's thinking, oh, God. Yeah, I must come across like that sometimes.
Oh, I come across, mate, I look like Quimby in so many ways. Sorry, I look like Wiggum in so many ways. So, yes, of course I do look like that. This enforcer comes in. And he's like, who are you to demand, Quimby? Who are you to demand anything? I run this town. You're a bunch of low-income nobodies. His assistant says, there's an election in November. So, again, stupid country.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, I was meant to look at how often mayors are elected. I'm guessing it's similar to here, isn't it? Every 4 years or so.
You'd think so. Yeah, you'd assume so.
Rex Banners comes in, and his dog's had puppies. Which is nice.
Yes, it was nice.
So would you know, like, Rex Banner, is that based on a particular film person, character?
It's the Untouchables, isn't it? You know,
right.
it's based upon
another film I haven't seen, obvs.
It's a lot of fun. It's one of those kind of really kind of serious but a lot of fun films. It's Elliot Ness, basically, Kevin Costner's character from that. That's a film that's got Sean Connery in pretending to be Irish and not doing anything different with his accent at all. You'll be absolutely astounded to know he does nothing with his accent, and he wins an Oscar for it.
Oh, the Untouchables.
It's the Untouchables. Hey, they're the Untouchables. I'm the beat cop on the Untouchables. So it is. Ha ha.
So it is. But yeah.
Exactly.
Well, he throws the telly on the floor, doesn't he? He comes in, throws the telly on the floor, kicks the chair, tells one of them, I can't remember who, to take the badge out of his mouth.
Yeah. took your trousers in and take the badge out of your mouth. And this is where... They sack Wiggum.
Yeah, the old Wiggum charm can only go so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he goes, pays the mob a visit.
How do you know you don't like bribes if you've never taken one? And it's just the way he kind of smiles. He goes, hey, this feels nice.
Yeah.
That's just a bit that I had completely forgotten existed. I was like, oh, he's okay, you win. From now on, we'll stick to smuggling heroin.
Yeah,
see
that you do.
I've turned Rex Banner into Paul Kersey from Death Wish. Hey, see that you do. He doesn't sound like that at all. Homer's saying, at first I thought prohibition was a good thing. People were drinking more, having a lot more fun. Without beer, prohibition doesn't work.
Barney's vigil outside the brewery.
Yeah, laying a single rose every night. And you don't know who it is because he's all in black, although it's quite blatant with the silhouette Barney until he burps. Yeah,
and then you've he's come up with an idea then, doesn't he?
Come up with an idea, boy. He says, I'm trying, Dad.
And then he goes out. Yeah, if you don't come back, avenge our deaths.
Yeah, which gets a couple of references.
Yeah, I might start saying that more.
Yeah, I think so too. They go to the dump where they dig up the barrels, basically throw them into this wagon thing that they've got, this little lugger wagon. So little luggers based on a U-Haul.
It's got to be Flanders' trailer, that, isn't it?
100%. U-Haul was founded in 1945 and had a revenue of $4.45 billion in 2020. The closest I can think of in the UK is Budget Rent-A-Van.
Yeah, so yeah, making the way.
You ever rented a van, Tom?
No, never. Never. rented a car, that were good.
Right, okay. I would love to rent a van. I love the idea of renting a van, but you have to listen to TalkSport when you're in a rental van, don't you? All right, Steve. Yeah, it's me. It's Jono from a big Spurs fan. I can't believe that Harry Redknapp's not back in charge of Spurs. I just can't believe it. Yeah, I mean, come on, he's the one person that we need, isn't he? You know, Harry Redknapp. He's it's just noise. It's just fucking noise. Yeah. TalkSport.
It is.
And adverts every 3 minutes. You're all right. You can keep it.
Why aren't Leeds gone for Sam Allardyce? That kind of thing.
Actually, that's a good question. Why haven't Leeds gone for Sam Allardyce?
Why have they
He'll
gone
keep
for,
you up?
For Jesse Marsh? Yeah, let's not turn this into talks, but I mean, we should. Right, let's cut to an ad break.
The Selco is where the trade go.
Cool folks. They are driving back with little lugger through the graveyard. It's bad luck to knock over the gravestones.
Apparently it's bad luck, yeah. I heard it was good.
Don't tell anyone about this. Not your mother, not Rex Banner. Look at him, trying to aim that stupid gun.
Yeah. What happened to your Homer and what have you done to the car? Nothing. I'm pretty sure it didn't have broken axles before. Before. You're living in the past, Marge. Quit living in the past.
That was a quote that I'd kind of... I couldn't remember what episode it is from, so I loved hearing it because it's a great quote.
It is. This week's episode of 100 Things, we covered a film where there's an emu farm as part of the one of the scenes of the farms, and all I could think all the way through watching it going, emu farm, Marge, you're precious. The emu farm.
I can't remember that one.
That's the how are you going to get the money? Through Greece? No, Marge. Through savings and good investments. Of course, through Greece.
Oh, yeah.
Well, why don't you try something like an emu farm? It's savings and wise investments.
That makes sense now, yeah.
Is
so, Marge and Kat, she used to be able to go in the basement.
I'm sure I used to be able to go in there.
And it's got on the door in... kind of no entry in English, Spanish, French, German, and Mandarin.
Good spot.
Which I think is, I actually used the Google Translate lens thing. So to see what language it was at the bottom because I couldn't tell. And also I didn't really know what the Spanish was. No, but yeah, no entry. No entry. no entry pas. Eingang verboten, and I think it's something like Jinzi Jinro.
Oh, check you out.
But that might be totally wrong, and I might have just offended a lot of people. I think my attempts at other languages, usually just in a Yorkshire accent as well, which is...
which helps a lot. Yeah, helps a lot.
I'm not going to lie to you, Marge.
That's it. So long. So he's bowling these balls and they're gutter balls, and Bart's like, oh gee, Homer, you do suck tonight. suck like a fox.
And the beer goes down to Moors.
Yeah, and this kind of like kind of thing, isn't it?
It arrives to Barney, who pays $45 for a pint.
What's the most you think you've paid for a pint?
I was just thinking that probably... Because you see beer that's like per pint is like a tenner, but you don't buy a pint of it, do you? Because I'd say it's probably not made for drinking in pints. So for a pint of lager or something like that, probably getting on for £7. Mm-hmm.
We were at a baptism in North London a couple of weekends ago, in Islington, and just off the Seven Sisters, a very, very nice pub, which was a bit more expensive than anything else around there, but it was a very good pub. It was £6.45 for a pint of Gamma Ray, Beavertown Gamma Ray, which you could have fucking rolled it down the street from where they make it.
Yeah, I would expect to pay that. $45, that's about $80 in today's money.
Is it really? Fucking hell.
I'm trying to think of the exchange rate, but I think
60 quid?
It worked out at about €72, and I worked out that was 9 pints of Coors Lager in a bar on Temple Bar, according to an article from the Irish Daily Mirror I found, saying it was getting on for €8 a pint.
Wow, for Coors!
But that is in tourist. I mean, Dublin, I've never been to Dublin, shamefully, but yeah, Temple Bar's very much like a tourist hotspot, isn't it?
Yeah, Temple Bar's one of those that you go and have one pint of Guinness and one Irish whiskey, and then you go and find somewhere cheaper. You know, you turn up at 9 o'clock to see the boy do Irish Rover and Dirty Old Town, and then you fuck off to somewhere else where you're more likely to get glassed. How much is a pint in different cities? Cheapest I could find was in Burundi, which I think is one of those loser countries, at 59p a pint.
Great.
And Qatar at £9.93 a pint. Enjoy your Death Trap World Cup fucking stadiums, arseholes. And your 10 quid pints.
Yeah, I bet petrol's about 59p a gallon there.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, what is it? In America, it's gone up to about 80p a litre.
Yeah.
They're kicking off.
I know, yeah. Meanwhile, I filled up the tank on the Seat the other night, and it was 71 quid.
Yikes. Yeah, it's over 50 for me. I've only got a little car. It's over 50 quid, but just don't drive much. I can because I don't have to drive for work, so yeah, easy for me to say.
But you're certainly thinking twice about coming up to Carlisle and Blythe Easter.
Might get a train.
And not just because your football team's crap, but you know.
Train will probably cost a similar amount.
It probably will.
They are. It's Rex Banner's birthday. Not a very happy one.
No, he's not even eating his banana kaboom.
Yeah, I had a look. Banana Kaboom, it's a band. Yeah. There's a band called Banana Kaboom from Toledo, Ohio. They've got 11 monthly listeners on Spotify. So as a challenge, do you think our podcast could double their monthly listeners? Could we get 11? Could we get 11 people to go to the Banana Kaboom Spotify?
I think we can. And I think we'll reach out to Banana Kaboom.
They'll be absolutely baffled.
Yeah, they will. We'll reach out to Banana Kaboom.
Yeah, Banana Kaboom, it's not a real dessert. There is a recipe for it on the Joy of Cooking Millhouse website.
Okay.
And the top tip from that is to is linked to one of their earlier recipes. It's for the flags. It says reuse the flags left over from Million Dollar Birthday Fries. So there you go. Top money saving tip.
He's all right, Martin Lewis.
Play him again.
He's back. He's been away for a few episodes.
Martin Lewis, now he's just like, I can't tell you anything. Everything's expensive.
Yeah.
I can't help you. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
You're on your own now. I'm rich from selling my website. So long, suckers.
I think he's one of the good guys, is Martin Lewis.
I think
I think his heart's in the right place.
I think he's dodging tax. Prove us wrong, Martin Lewis.
He's a grifter.
I do think he's a grifter. There's plenty of.
No, I like him. To put that on
that's fine. No, that's fine. Barney staggers by. He's like, "Hello, fishies!" in the window. And I liked Banner's. Listen, Rummy, where'd you pinch the hooch?
Well, yeah.
Is some blind tiger jerking suds on the side? Barney's no idea.
Well, because yeah, he said I'm going to say it plain and simple, and then he comes out with that old incomprehensible nonsense.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, Homer's trying to escape.
Yeah, with this wheelbarrow full of bowling balls.
Marge is there, finds out all about the scheme. She's quite impressed by it.
First time, yeah. For the first time ever.
Lisa less so. And I would have thought Lisa would be more questioning of such a law rather than blindly obeying it.
Yeah, perhaps. But Lisa is written this way. Let's be fair. She's written as sanctimonious Lisa.
Yeah.
That's always the point, I guess. We're at Moe's. This time Rex comes in. Moe's got this kind of this button.
Open,
and
open
everything
up,
moves really slowly.
Open up Curly. She reminded me of Coronation Street.
That is Curly Watts.
Yeah, Norman Watts.
It is, of course, a reference to Larry Curly and Moe of the Three Stooges, not to Coronation Street.
Damn.
I'm glad we've got it. I'm glad it's there. Everything's really, really slow, and it becomes this pet shop. And he's like, "What kind of pet shop is filled with rambunctious yahoos and hot jazz music at 1 a.m.?
The best damn pet shop in town.
Yeah. Now, the best damn pet shop in town is a fantastic merch store, which has been served notice so many times. Because it's not affiliated with Disney or Fox or anything like that. But they make some really good t-shirts. You know my...
Is that where you get yours from?
My back print Homer.
Gold plate.
Biggest man in the world. And
yeah.
And you're covered in gold. Yeah, that with the Japanese text on it. Yeah, that's where I got that from. But they've got to a point now where they only kind of open up their store for like 10 days at a time.
Right.
And then they shut it down. And then they create stuff, and then they open because they kept getting shut down. So yeah. It's a great thing to do. But you'll get them on Instagram. I'll link to them in there.
Yeah, give them a plug.
Socials, yeah, because they're great. I've got a couple of their t-shirts. Fantastic. Rex says about baby turtles and baby alligators.
Yeah,
doesn't he? He basically says, you know, they're cute until they're not. Basically, turtles, of course, that's how you get salmonella. Poisoning, that's what we were always told at school. We had terrapins at our school. I went to Priestthorpe, which will mean something to a few of our listeners.
Me.
you and maybe one other.
Probably.
I went to Priestthorpe, and they we had terrapins in the biology lab. They lived in a little glass kind of case. And we were always told, don't touch them, because if they bite you, you can get salmonella.
Right. Is that true?
Alligators, of course. Yeah, 100% true. They carry salmonella, which is a shame, because I'd love to have some little terrapins. I think it'd be a cute thing to have in the house. Alligators, of course, the one thing that I know mostly alligators is the film Alligator, which is like a 1980 film, which is about some kid that gets a baby alligator, and when she's not looking after it, her parents flush it down the toilet. It becomes big and grows huge from eating dead dogs from a vet's. The doctor says he's getting rid of them. He's cremating them, but he's actually throwing them into the sewer. And it grows big on it. It's like a creature feature thing from the 80s. Great episode on Vintage Video Podcast, by the way. They didn't love that film as much as I loved it as a child. It's one of those I watched as a child, and it was quite important to me because I was a lonely child. It's not aged well. It's not aged well.
Yeah, well, it won't have done. If it's as old as you. Yay!
Hey! It's aged better than I am, mate, I'll tell you. But it's drunk a lot less Pinot Grigio as I am.
Yeah. In some states, it's legal. You can have a pet alligator. In Michigan, You can have, as long as you've got a permit, you can have one in New Mexico. Other states just ban them outright, like Arizona and New York. There's at least 5,000 pet alligators in Michigan State alone.
Wow, right, okay.
And, yeah, why would you get one?
Yeah. Maybe like a caiman, the little ones. I'd fancy my chances against that if it started on me.
Yeah, you'd be like Steve Irwin.
Well, I was going to suggest I'd be like a certain West Ham footballer. I could kick it in the kitchen. But I wouldn't, of course.
No.
I'm not a fucking arsehole. I'm not an arsehole fucking footballer. Thinks he's better than everybody. Anyway, Rex Banner's on this kind of... He's overlooking the town. He's like, you're out there somewhere, Beer Baron, and I'll find you.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Whoa. <Won't>. This is great. Now, the Beer Baron made me think of two things in particular. Vic and Bob's the club. Paul Baron. Hello, I'm Paul Baron. The club. Baron's Nightclub in Hull.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And the Baron Knights, British music group that no one's thought about for 20 years.
Yeah, I can't say I have.
It's a reference that even you're not getting, Tom, which means that it's deeply rooted, that one.
It's, yeah. Homer's there, flaunting around his new hat.
Oh, yeah. And all I could think was, but she's got a new hat.
Yeah. And, yeah, he says, call me Beer Baron to Bart, and Bart duly does.
Yep.
Mo is after some more booze, but all Homer can offer is turpentine or delicious cork.
Delicious cork.
Cork?
Yeah.
Cork.
Delicious cork. Any idea what cork is, Tom?
It's a bit of a thing your decorators use, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it is.
Filling gaps and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's for joints and seams. Yeah. It stops leaking and, on pipes and things like that.
Probably advertised on TalkSport.
Yeah. Go, come and get your cork. Possibly.
But, yeah, he decides, Homer then decides after the visit from Mo, where the customers aren't staying around for the ambience.
But it's because he's not got the dank anymore.
Yeah. He decides to go out and buy some bathtubs because he's got an idea.
He does. 42 bathtubs. No, yeah.
He could have 50 for $3,000.
I said 42.
And we don't find out how much he would have saved, do we? How much was 42?
No, unfortunately. We don't know. We don't know.
And maybe that's the joke, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the joke.
He starts making the booze, gets there's a bathtub mint julep.
Yeah. Now, mint julep is bourbon, sugar water and mint, and it sounds fucking rank.
It sounds like somebody like making a mojito. And
they ran out of rum.
Yeah.
They ran out of white rum.
Yeah.
And they went, ah, I say, let's just put some bourbon in it, I say.
Yeah. I don't mind a mojito.
I like a mojito. Yeah. The mint julep became the Kentucky Derby's official drink in 1939. So it's the drink of racists and horse murderers. Got
brilliant.
It. Yeah, good for them. And there's a bit where there's like some blokes in white suits and hats at the bar. Okay,
they'll take it. Banner's out trying to find the elusive Baron.
Oh, and he comes across Ned.
Yeah, and if you're talking about root beer.
Guilt diddly iltily as charge diddly arge. He sounds drunk. Take him in.
And the comic book guy by the manhunt reporter who made him watch a film in the newspaper.
Don't crack wise with me, Tubby.
Oh, yeah, Tubby.
Yeah, he's about to argue it, isn't he? He's like, yeah, I am. I'm fat.
But then Homer just walks past with his crate full of hops and malt and all that kind of stuff.
And tequila worms.
Oh, yeah.
Tequila worms aren't found in tequila. Like, this is going to blow you away. Tequila worms are not found in tequila. They're found in mezcal. And also, it's not a worm. It's larvae known as Gustano de Maguey, which would become a moth. Were it not dead? Beautiful moth.
Have you ever tried to make homebrew?
No, my old man did for a little while, and once made rhubarb wine.
Damn, my dad made that as well.
It was brutal. I mean, it was a fucking paint stripper.
I was about 10 when I remember my dad making that. I helped him. But I remember having a little sip of it and it just tasted like fire. But we had some kind of party and it came out, and I just remember everyone just being bollocksed.
Of course they were.
Yeah,
of course they were.
I was asking listener Thomas Hud's Tales on Twitter.
Yeah.
Asking him, because I think he's had some homebrew adventures. I asked him about it. He said he made a lot of gin in the late 90s, whilst listening to the Spice Girls and playing Championship Manager 97, 98.
Oh, it was a good one. What a vintage year for Championship Manager. I don't know about for gin, and certainly not for music, evidently. But Thomas, great. That's fantastic. Have you just got your eyesight back, mate? I think is the question.
Yeah, it's going blind.
Yeah.
Wanking other Spice Girls.
Which Spice Girl did you wank over the most, Tom? Why not?
I think I just quite like Jerry because she had she used to get
because she was dressed as John Bull.
Yeah. I think because she used to like have a good rack.
I'm disappointed in you. You need to hand in your Yorkshire card, but it wasn't Mel B.
Yeah, I liked them all.
Of course you did. They were all banging in the 90s.
Yeah.
I had a copy of 90 Minutes, I think, where they were all dressed in football kits.
Oh, I think, Mel B in Leeds shirt.
Yeah, Jerry in a, I want to say a Solvite...
Watford
shirt, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember who the
Man United, of course.
Liverpool, I think.
By the way, I've got this. Listeners don't care about this, and I'm pretty sure I've told you this story, but I briefly worked for Leeds United Travel in the 2000s when they
Leeds were living the dream.
And my boss for Leeds United Travel was Mel B's dad. This tiny little scouse fella, and he was lovely in this little fawn 90s 2000s fawn suit. He was a lovely fella, and he would let me go and eat my dinner in the stand, even though I fucking hated Leeds United. But you know, a job's a job.
Yeah,
it is what it is. Football grounds are brilliant, aren't they?
Love it.
Aren't they brilliant?
Going grounds? Out, looking over the lush green turf, or just
correct
for the kind of football I watch, just enjoying all the little idiosyncrasies of the ground and
seeing if someone's left some beak in the toilet. You know, it's all what we're after, isn't it? Yes, of course.
Beak. Second mention of beak.
Second mention of beak. And at no point are we even interested.
There's a lot of...
Homer's place, the Simpsons house, is exploding, isn't it?
Yeah. They said it must have been that bean that he had for dinner. And that
bean, singular bean.
Singular. I was gonna say that.
I hope you eat many a bean.
That's like that sounds a bit like a vegan problem. There's a lot more beans and more explosions.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Homer goes down to see what's going on. He just hears a screaming. She looks outside and he's on fire rolling around the front lawn. And Rachel turned to me and goes, "It's your favourite trope, a man on fire in a film." And I'm like, well, first of all, it's a cartoon, so it doesn't count. Two, it's The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It happens a lot. But he drops to the floor and rolls. And because we're a public service here, we recommend that if you are burning, remember, stop, drop and roll.
Good advice.
Absolutely.
Hopefully it will not be needed.
No.
And that persuades him to stop, doesn't it? He decides to quit. But he still has wonderful money.
He has. Wiggum, still in kind of half of his police suit and some pajama bottoms, threatens him with his gun. He says, you haven't even got a trigger on that. I sold it. Most of the handle to feed the family, which is really sad, actually.
It is, but who's he selling that to?
Gunsmiths.
And he'd be more powerful with the gun.
Yeah, and he threatens to throw it at him. It's really heavy. Homer comes up with a plan to give Wiggum his job back and beat Rex Banner. Banner's doing this press conference to say it's ended. The beer baron was a media fabrication.
Yeah, the idea, the very idea that somebody like that could operate under my nose is laughable.
This noise, by the way, what is that?
I can't replicate it, but we all know what laughter sounds like.
Absolutely. The Chief Wiggum has been reported to have caught the beer baron on Evergreen Terrace.
Yeah, so I'll explain how it was done.
Yep.
You forgot about one thing, Wiggum. I filled the balls with the funnel.
Yes, absolutely. What's going to happen to you? Oh, it's probably just a slap on the wrist. And this is where he's tied up and loaded into this catapult. And he who shall violate this law shall be punished by catapult.
Yeah.
And Homer's like, I'm not helping you again. I thought it would just be a fine, or at the most 3 or 4 years in jail.
Yeah. And then, the test it with a cat. That's like,
yeah,
the old character.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't like that. That made me sad. As a cat father.
And then Marge does quite a rousing speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it restricts their freedoms.
Yeah,
their freedom to drink. Which is one of my favourite freedoms.
But as Rex Banner said, it's not up to us to choose which laws we want to obey. If it were up to me, I'd kill everyone who looked at me cock-eyed. And then I thought, what if you could? If you could, choose not to obey one law, what would it be?
I hadn't really given this any thought. What's yours? I need some inspiration.
I kind of think, because I'd like to think of myself as quite a liberal person. But, no, I think things like, it's not really law, it's more like law enforcement, things like littering and little things like that. I'd love to see that enforced with tasering.
Christ. Mr. Liberal, is it?
Fucking hell.
There's
like no excuses at all for littering.
No, I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Not big taser. It should be like a little shock. Not like the full-on taser you have. That's kind of what I... But I could do it myself, couldn't I? And that would be a law. That would be fine, because I'd just not obey that law. Just can not to.
That's fair enough, yeah. I think the law that's been introduced where you can be jailed for up to 10 years for protesting, I think that would be the one I would like to do. Because even if you just you walk through the streets with a sign, they can jail you. These days. And the law where you can't even say you're English anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's important as well. Yeah, these days. When did this come in? Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, good choices.
Yeah, thank you very much. Rex steps onto the catapult to do some chatting. Eddie pulls the lever and fires him basically away, which is great. And he's never to be seen again. I assume he's dead because that would... They'd find his corpse somewhere.
Miles away.
Yeah, hopefully.
But then, the clerk turns up and he's just managed to read the bottom bit of the parchment, which says that the law which was passed 200 years ago was repealed 199 years ago.
That's exactly how he says it, yeah. Homer gets an apology and asks when will he be able to flood the town with booze.
About 4 minutes.
Tony, 4 minutes. And then we cut to 5 minutes later, everyone's wrecked.
And then we have, probably a very famous quote from Homer at the end.
Yeah, and this is the one that was on all the posters, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To alcohol, the cause and solution of all life's problems.
And that's the end of the episode.
Mm. Absolutely. I missed a few things when talking about this. Prohibition. Rum runners, that's easy for me to say, had souped up cars. When Prohibition ended, they set up races that eventually turned into the NASCAR.
What?
Races. I know, yeah. So, and prohibition is why we have cocktails. Again, those are thanks to Mono at Mono Rants podcast. He and his lovely lady are Irish. I say lovely lady. She's not a lady. She'd bat the fuck out of all of us. I'm sure of that.
Sounds like a proper Irish woman.
Yeah, absolutely. They're good crack. I have a chat with them almost daily, the pair of them. And St. Patrick. St. Patrick, as you mentioned, was born in Roman Britain. He's the patron saint of, deep breath, Ireland, Nigeria, Montserrat, the Archdiocese of New York, the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Newark, not the one in not the one with an NG postcode. Boston, Rolla, Missouri, Louisa, Puerto Rico, Mercia, Spain, Clan Giola Padrig, the Engineers, the Paralegals. Are you a paralegal? Wow. Yes. Well, pray to St. Patrick, the Archdiocese of Melbourne. Apparently banished the snakes from Ireland. And a fine job you did too, yeah, laddie. which got me thinking, maybe Colleen Rooney could have used him to get rid of Rebecca Vardy, hun.
Yes, snake.
How'd you like that 2-year-old reference, eh?
Too many snakes in this world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me, hun.
But XOXOXO, DM me. All evidence suggests that post glacial Ireland never had any snakes. Naturalist Nigel Moynihan, keeper of natural history at the National Museum of Ireland in Dublin, suggested at no time has there ever been any suggestion of snakes in Ireland. So there was nothing for St. Patrick to banish.
Were the snakes like pagans or something like that?
That's the assumption.
Christianity.
Yeah.
Well,
great episode. And our plan to do episodes no longer than an hour is right on its arse.
Well, yeah, there is that. We also said we do episodes every 2 weeks as well. So
every 3 weeks at the minute.
We're kind of keeping the same quantity of podcasts. We're just not spreading it out as much.
Okay.
So
whatever you need to help you sleep at night, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. Because I know it's my preference for podcasts to be less than an hour long. That's my personal preference.
Well, come up with less content then. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Just do what I do and bring fuck all to the podcast.
Yeah. Just too good.
We need more Simpsons clips and less talking about wanking over the Spice Girls. That's what we need.
Pretty much, yeah. I think that's a nadir for this podcast. So it can only go up in the world now.
You say that. You
Which
say
is
that.
Good. Yeah, that was a really enjoyable episode to do. Thinking about prohibition, thinking about how the war on drugs, the moral majority, learning about how everyone is Irish except the gays. I didn't find out what the Italian reference was, but. Maybe should have
they're just—they're just very. They've just got a certain way, haven't they? That they prefer. I can imagine it's a nationalist thing, because they're all right wing, aren't they? The Italians.
apart from Palermo.
Yes, Palermo? Absolutely.
Bologna is a very left wing city.
Is it really?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Not to be confused with SS Nazio, of course, who were probably one of the most right-wing football teams in the world.
Yeah, I think it's gone off a tangent.
I think it has. Fantastic.
I think the songs are all right.
Yeah, they're right by me.
Good people.
Tom, where can we find us, you and me, on the internet?
We are on Twitter at Every Simpson Pod.
There you go. Right? Yeah, delivering right. Nonsense memes and arguing with other Twitter accounts. Classic us. You will also find me on 100 Things We Learned From Film podcast, where myself and John try and find out 100 things we learned from a film. You'll also find me absolutely all over the internet doing various different guest spots on stuff because I'm an internet podcast whore. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, whenever we'd be bloody arsed.
Yeah.
Whenever our very busy schedules of you running and me dotting around the country having a look at nonsense.
Yeah, so I'm running Manchester Marathon. 3 weeks after we're recording this, so I don't know. We'll get
it'll be
out.
It'll be out there, yes. We'll tweet out the link if you want to donate. I'm
raising money or attempting to raise money for Blackpool Food Bank and the work that they do in Blackpool. So have a look at that and hopefully you're able to donate some money. But there's a lot of pressure on finances and everything else, isn't there? So
Throw a couple of quid in, throw us a couple of shekels. Yeah. Tom's really working hard to make some money for people that don't really have any choice in the Northwest. So that would be good if you could do so. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whenever we can be asked, with another episode.
Yeah, and yeah, hopefully it won't be too long, and hopefully this has I was going to say, I can't think of the word. Hopefully this...
Sated your appetite.
That's the one.
Sated your appetite. Go on.
For this inane podcast that we do, that we enjoy doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we hope that you enjoy listening to.
Grand. Right, we'll see you again.
All right, yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Ta-ra.